Most people tend to come to Feldenkrais because they've had some injury. Not everyone, but most. Injuries, some neurological problem. There are always some who come to develop more awareness. In either case, what's true is that we're here to learn about ourselves, to come to know ourselves more fully. I want to talk about an aspect of the method that was very important for Moshe, which is what does it mean to become more human? And he talked about it as maturing into being a human being. His first book was called Body and Mature Behavior. It's a very good book, and if you read it, give yourself 10 years to understand it. And I'm not joking. It's very dense. I think what I would like to do is change the title of his book. While he looks at it in terms of body and mature behavior, I think it's easier to understand if we think of it as movement and mature behavior. And of course, the assumption is that movement occurs within our bodies. To understand our bodies is a very complex phenomenon. But to understand our movement, it's more accessible. I can feel when I lift my leg or when I put it down. When I think of what my body has to do that, it gets confusing. So movement becomes the medium through which to understand our body and use of self. The idea behind this workshop, looking at what's the relationship between a moment where something begins and the movement that enacts that movement. We then have to look at what's the intention that we have and what's the action that occurs. And very often, there's a gap between the two. I have an intention to do something, but I don't succeed in the outcome. And sometimes this is a little thing where I'm learning to do something, and sometimes it's a very big thing about my life, that I spend so much of my life wanting something, intending for something to happen, but somehow it doesn't happen. So we can do therapy, we can speak with our friends, we can make a spiritual practice, many other things, and all of them may help us do what we want to do. But since movement is part of everything that we do, the chance we have to clarify how we move can actually help us understand why we are achieving something or not achieving something. And starting out at the very basic level of how do I do something, it's not about me asking you what intention have you not been able to fulfill in your life. We don't have time for that. But what we do have time for is to examine something basic in ourselves, something that underlies everything about us. And as this aspect of ourself improves, we have the chance to come closer to our dreams and our goals. So let me ask you a different question. What is it that makes you decide to get comfortable? When do you decide to get comfortable? If you think about the adjustment you make to make yourself comfortable, what is it that initiates that? It's a very quick movement, actually. The major reason we decide to get comfortable is because we're uncomfortable. It's not to say that we can't have other motivations, but throughout most of our day, this is what motivates us. Which means I could be sitting for a while in a chair talking to you, and after 10 or 15 minutes, I go, oh, this is not comfortable. That's better. And then after another 10 or 15 minutes, oh, this is not comfortable. And I adjust myself again. My question is this a good criteria to get comfortable? It's a necessary one. If we ignored it, we'd be in worse condition. But why do we have to wait till we're uncomfortable to get comfortable? This is kind of crazy. And we all do this as adults. If you watch children functioning, you'll see that their major criteria of relating to themselves and the world is that they're comfortable. And if they're uncomfortable, they let you know it right away. We'll be exploring awareness through movement over the weekend, and I'll do a demonstration of functional integration tomorrow. Now, in functional integration, the person is usually lying on a table, fully clothed, and I'm gently moving them around. But the fact is, if I go to move an adult, and it's a little uncomfortable for them, they'll be polite and they won't say anything, even to the point where they could get hurt. Whereas if I touch a child in a way that they don't like it, they'll push me away immediately. Get out of here. Don't do that or they'll start crying. Somehow we've given up this capacity to use this as a criteria. We'll do a wide range of lessons in here this weekend. Well, let me give you guidelines then for the lessons. Some will be more challenging than others. I actually can't predict who will find what challenging. Sometimes the ones that I think will be easy for everyone, they find challenging. Sometimes the reverse happens. I'm worried about teaching this lesson and everyone's having a good time. In all of the lessons, there are certain guidelines. The major guidelines is that you stay within your own range of comfort and ease. There'll be times when you want to exert yourself and make more effort. It's useless in this context. You might find as you do the lessons, if you are efforting, that by the end you're using less effort. There's a quieter feeling for you. If you have discomfort during the lessons, you can do a few things by yourself first. First, go slower. See if that makes it easier for you. Second, do the movements smaller. See if that makes it easier. Some people have, unfortunately, discomfort a lot of the time. So they say, well, everything I do hurts. So we'll go slowly and see how it develops. If at any time while doing the movements you get tired, stop and rest. It's much more a factor of how you use your attention than how many repetitions you do. Two or three movements with attention are many times more valuable than 100 movements without attention. So it's not an exercise. And, you know, I've been doing it 20 years, and I still have to remind myself of these things. So it's a good reminder for everybody. If you fall asleep during a lesson, it's okay. I won't wake you, and it's likely you haven't missed anything.
So, let's do a lesson.